Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on what Christian marriage, a Christian family ought to be on this earth. God knows that there will be some who will be called to be single. There will be many others who will be called to be married. And God is very concerned that as we are involved in this world, that we do not allow the world to seduce us and to cause us to lose our holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in these last days. Because in these last days, the world will become more and more like the days of Noah. It will be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where sin, evil, and wickedness will be committed continuously, and men and women will, like in the days of Noah, invent and create more ways to deceive, to seduce. And this we can see very vividly and clearly through Hollywood, through YouTube, and all the internet mass media. The design and the purpose is to destroy the holy witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of God's people. And family, marriage, will be a very, very effective tool that Satan would use. Because we are people who love people. We are people created in God's image where we can build fellowship and relationships, where we have the ability to attach ourselves to one another. And as husbands and wives, as parents and children, as children to parents, these are relationships that are dearest to our hearts. So much so that we are prepared to do anything, even to give of our lives for our loved ones on this earth. And therein lies the danger of married life. In Genesis chapter 2, God teaches us what Christian marriage means to Him. It was ordained by God before there was sin. It was ordained by God that the world may be filled with people. It was ordained by God to keep men from sinning. It was ordained by God that society will be lived in an orderly manner, where God's word, where God will be present. So marriage was ordained by God, and therefore how can it be bad? It became bad because of the fall of man. And so God had to teach us that even after the fall of man, when Christians marry, I will now instruct you and tell you how you can have a Christian home. And so God gave us instruction in Ephesians chapter 5 on the duties and roles of Christian wives and Christian husbands. So that even in this world of great confusion, the Christian home can still be a very, very godly place where children born into these Christian homes may grow up and see Christ in their parents and come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. So God has given to us instruction in Genesis 2 concerning what God's perspective of marriage is. He ordained it, not the church, not the government. It is given by our Creator Himself. And then after the fall, God still wants us to have a proper understanding of what a Christian home ought to be. And so it depends upon the husband and the wife, that is the father and the mother, how they ought to relate to each other in Christ Jesus. And so God wants us to succeed. God provided us instruction so that we may live on this earth as families that will point people to the Savior. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in particular, verse 29 to 31, he gives us another biblical perspective or view of married life. That is not found in Ephesians 5. That is not found in Genesis 2. You put all these passages together, you will have a proper biblical understanding of married life. So what exactly is found in 1 Corinthians 7 concerning married life that is not found in the other two passages that we are more familiar with, but not this aspect? The Apostle Paul had been explaining singlehood and marriage within the church, among believers. He instructed us, if you were unbelievers when you got married, when one becomes a believer, what happens? You do not seek divorce. You be as godly as you possibly can if you are the Christian husband with a non-Christian wife, or vice versa. So that by your holy witness and testimony, God may show grace and mercy to your unsaved loved one, and he or she may find salvation in Christ Jesus. And God wanted you to understand and know that because of you, the covenantal blessings that God has bestowed upon you will also flow down to your children, and that's why they are holy in God's sight, and also to your unbelieving spouse. That is the mercy and the grace of God. And then to those who have Christian wives and Christian husbands, you are also a Christian. Never forget this particular aspect of married life that the Apostle Paul wants us to know and understand from verse 29 to 31. And that's where you see the word that both they have wives be as though they have none. Who are the both? When you became a believer after you married an unbeliever, and those who have believing husbands or believing wives, both must have this perspective. And so the first thing God wants us to realize and understand in verse 29a is, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. Whether you are single or married, especially to those who are married in this morning's context, the time is short. What time? The time that you have on this earth is short. The time that you have on this earth to witness is short. Why is it called short? Short in comparison to what? Short in comparison to eternity. Even if you live 800-900 years like the people before the flood in Noah's time, in Adam's time, 800-900 years compared to eternity is also short. How much more 60 years and 10? It is really short. If you get married at the age of 30, 60 years and 10, you only have 40 years to serve the Lord as a Christian. That's why it is short. And you and I very often forget this. And most of the time, we will know this and remember this after we have wasted time. And so you ask those who are in their golden years, dear friends, ask those who are in the senior adult fellowship. Sadly, even at that age, some of us have not even realized how short time is. But you ask them, they will tell you, it was like a blink of an eye, and now they are in their 70s and 80s. And very soon they know that it could be the last day. This morning when they wake up, probably they will ask themselves, could this be the last day? Because tomorrow, tonight when I go to sleep, will I wake up tomorrow morning? If you are in your 80s, your body is aching, you read the obituaries, how can you not be reminded of the brevity of life if you are in your 80s? But God does not want you to recognize and know the brevity of life when you are in your 80s, because then you will only have regrets. Regret because you have been a Christian since you were 30, and what have you done for the Lord Jesus Christ now that you are in your 80s? 50 years as a Christian, how much have you done for the Lord? You ask yourself that. Only 50 years on earth, and what you do here on earth, the Lord says, that is done with the right motive constrained by the love of Christ, where you have served God with clean hands and pure hearts. When you leave this world, God said, all these wonderful good works that the Lord knows will follow you into heaven, where the Lord will remember those wonderful, wonderful deeds that you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ while you're here on earth. And that's why it is so precious. Not only because it is short, but it is only during this time on this earth for all of eternity where you can serve God in this dangerous earth. Because the next time you serve God in heaven, you will be in eternal safety. There is no death, there is no disease, there is no enemy. You will be in a state of unchanging, immutable perfection. Of course, not immutable in the way that God is. You will still gain knowledge, but as far as this sin is concerned, as far as death is concerned, as far as sickness is concerned, all these will become a thing of the eternal past. You will still serve the Lord, but the environment will be perfect and holy in the presence of God. A very different kind of service. And this will continue right through the millennium and into the new heaven and new earth. But it is only right now and here, in this world where Satan is described as the God of this age, where Satan is controlling everything that you see in this world. He controls all those multi-billion dollar enterprises. He controls all the mass media. He controls the sound waves. He controls what is out in the internet. He controls all those who design games that are addictive. He controls. And God says, after I saved you, I put you here on earth, and I've given you a very short time. And during this time, I want you to fulfill the purpose that I have in your life, to be my witnesses, to tell the world about the greatness of God's love that you have experienced in your heart in Christ Jesus. You will now become the walking billboard of the image of Jesus Christ, how great and amazing and wonderful a Savior He is everywhere you go. And Satan will use every power at his disposal from this earth to stop you. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, when you are married with a family, remember time is short. Because on top of the shortness of time itself, you now have this additional responsibility called family, which a single person does not have. Remember, a single person is only better than a married person, not in terms of marital status. There is nothing good by just being single. Please understand this. If you think this way, then you will cross the line into the teaching of the Roman Catholics. That's why they do not allow their monk, their priest, to marry. And you and I know the greater, terrible, terrible transgressions they have committed. Marital status is not the point. It's only for believers and believers who are faithful. Because when you are single and you are a faithful servant of the Lord, like the Apostle Paul, his mind and his heart is occupied with only pleasing the Lord. He is not encumbered by family responsibilities. Imagine if Paul was married and he had 5 children. How is he able to just simply travel and minister the way that he did during his first, second, third missionaries? He was not able to do so. He would not be able to do so. If he were to do so at the neglect of his family, then he will lose his ability to minister because he will be in transgression. It's only when you are a faithful servant of the Lord as a single person in terms of the practical use of your time. If you're single and you're not faithful, you use your time to play games on computer, on the tennis court, on the golf course, go sailing, go play games. What is the point of being single, and how is it better than a person who is married with a godly family and he's serving the Lord, and all you do with your single time as a single person is to play, is to have fun, is to go on holiday. That's all you care about. You are not better off, you're worse off. Irresponsible. So please do not come to the conclusion that just simply becoming single is better than those who are married. That is not true. It's not about marital status, it's about the time. And he will emphasize that very clearly from verse 32 to 34, God willing, will be next Lord's Day message. But to those who are married, please understand the brevity of time is short in itself, and then now you have family responsibilities whereby this block of, let's say, 40 years, 30 years, you, at the age of 30, you became a believer. Let's say you only have 70 years and 10 on this earth. These 40 years that you have on this earth to be a Christian witness for the Lord, a big chunk of it will be devoted to your family, to make sure that you have a godly family. And when you are devoted to taking care of your family, what you could have done only for the Lord will not be possible. So whatever time that you have left that is not devoted to the family, so you have 40 years, short enough. And then a big chunk of it for family, what else do you have left? That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to drive home into the hearts and minds of every one of us, especially the Christian husband. Because you are the head. It is your responsibility and duty. When the father of the daughter, the woman you marry, gave her over to you, you are to do one thing and one thing only. What was the father's responsibility as a Christian father to the daughter? He was prepared to die for the daughter. He was prepared to do whatever it takes to help the daughter become a believer and then after salvation to continue to grow spiritually. And then now he gave her over to you. You are supposed to continue to help your wife grow spiritually, to become more spiritual as your helper suitable for you. And then when God blesses you with children, that should continue to be your responsibility to help your wife be a better mother, a spiritual mother to the children. That is what you are supposed to do. And that's why the focus is on the men. That both they that have wives. So referring to the men, they that have wives. It's your responsibility. You have to know that as the head of the family, your time here on this earth is very short in serving the Lord. Remember that. Don't allow the world to capture your heart, to seduce you into thinking that now I am 30, I'm at the prime of my working life, I must now build up my tiny little home and build it up into a big bungalow, and to do that I must have so much money and this amount of money, and so you have to plan and plot and do all kinds of ways and means and concoct all kinds of ideas to invest here, invest there, to make more money. Is that what God has saved you for? Is that what God wants you to do? Isn't this what an unbeliever would do? This is a life of faithlessness. This is a life of a lover of mammon. This is a life of carnality. Why would a Christian do something so foolish? Something so stupid? It's stupid. Because if you are not a Christian, you do not know, that's fine. But if you are a Christian, you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sin. And now you do not have only your own spiritual well-being to look after. Now you have your wife's spiritual well-being to look after. And now because of your carnality, you're ruining her life. And if the father were to look at you, this is what you have done to my daughter. She was spiritual and holy when I handed her over to you on the day of your holy matrimony. What have you done to her? She has now become a lover of the world when she used to be a lover of Christ. Time is short. And you are wasting it. And the longer you waste it, every day you waste it, where she continues to love the world, you answer to God one day. What are you going to say? I am sorry. You're supposed to take care of your own spiritual life so that you can take care of your wife's spiritual life. And then if you pray for children, God bless you with the children. God warns us of all the people that you want to teach and guide and counsel and help. The little ones are the most dangerous to the person who wants to teach, the teacher. Because God warns us, if you stumble any one of these, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea. And those millstones that we saw in Israel, they are huge. They're bigger circumference than this pulpit. Huge. Because the little ones, look at your own children. They have no knowledge of what is right and wrong. Whatever you give to them, they will eat. You give them poison, they will eat it as if it is good. They will trust you 100% with their lives, physical and spiritual. And that's why it is so needful and important that you know the time is short for you to be holy and righteous, to take care of your wife and your children. Time is short. You look at your children. You think they are going to be babies and infants and 1-2 year old all their lives? And mothers and fathers, both of you work, and people don't like me to say this, and I have to say this again because you don't seem to listen. And so I have to say it again. Why do you want to be parent? If you are not prepared to give up your job and look after them, and you hand over to your grandparents and others to take care of them, why do you want to be parents? You stumble them, they die in sin, they end up in hell. Do you know that? And it's going to be your responsibility. Then don't you blame God that God did not elect them. You dare to stand before God and say, God, my children, they end up in hell because you didn't elect them. You want to say that to God? Don't twist the doctrine of election. It is a wonderful, beautiful doctrine to give us assurance and comfort. Don't you use it as an excuse to live in sin and be a derelict father and mother. And it is always the father's responsibility. If your wife works and you work and your children are being looked after by somebody else, you are in transgression. It is your responsibility to look after them. You don't believe, you study the Bible. You study the book of Proverbs. Every time it's the father, the mother, the father, the mother, the father, the mother. When the son is naughty, when the daughter is naughty, when the child is wayward, he brings shame to the father. He breaks the mother's heart. He brings shame to the mother. He breaks the father's heart again and again. When they do good, they encourage and they promote and they honor father and mother. When they live in sin, when they are derelict, they bring shame to father and mother. Father and mother and children. That's why you are called father and mother. If you are not going to be father and mother, don't have children. If you have children, please give your life to look after them. They are your responsibilities. That's what marriage will do. That's what marriage is. And time is short. When they are young, you have 100% influence over your little ones. Once they enter primary school, your influence will diminish by a big chunk, maybe 30%. You still have 70% of control. When they enter secondary school, it will flip. You may have now 40% control, 60% they're on their own. The friends that they meet out there in the world will influence them and impact them more than you. And then on top of that, they have the internet that you don't even have control because you're not even around. And then once they enter into A-level, you probably have no more control. You can't even tell them how to dress. They will not care and they will do whatever they want. What are you going to do? Pray and cry. That's all. Pray and cry. Never learn from the mistakes of so many who are already experiencing this problem. They're all around you. But you don't open your eyes and see and learn from their mistakes. Because many parents have made that mistake. And now they are paying for it because their children are now lovers of the world. They are. Time is short in shaping and molding and influencing your children. And once the window closes, it's over. It's over. Even if you make your mistake and you repent of it, and you won't repeat the same mistake in child number 2 and child number 3. But then every time you look at child number 1, so wayward, so rebellious. Can you still feel good in your heart? Sure, thank God you did not repeat the mistakes in child number 2 and number 3. But you have already ruined child number 1. And we are not talking about a computer that you can just simply replace. He's your son, your daughter, a human being, has a soul. And if that person does not believe in Jesus Christ because of your derelict responsibility and your terrible witness, that child of yours will end up in hell when the child dies. That's what happens. Eternity is at stake. And hell is a place of great torment where there is gnashing of teeth and there is no relief from the pain that they will have to endure. And if you think pain is painful on this earth, you multiply the most painful experience in your life on this earth, in this physical body, 1,000 times. And then maybe you come close to the pain that they will have to endure in hell. And because you have said that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your salvation is secure. You have a place in heaven. Thank God for that. But where is your responsibility and your duty to the people around you? By your horrible witness, they have not seen the right biblical Christ. Instead, they have been stumbled by the carnal Christ that you have portrayed to your own children because of your failure to lead as a father and as a mother. Christian father, Christian mother. And that's why know the time is short. Short for you to serve, short for you to influence, short. And some of us have already started to pay the price. Your teenage children, are they still in church? Are they still serving God, worshiping God, reading the Bible, praying? If they are not, you know in your heart of hearts that they are probably not born again in Christ. And you know that if they were to die in their sin, they are going to go to hell. You know that. And as a parent, your time is now shorter than short. Because now they are teenagers and some of them are even young adults. And they are now lovers of the world because of you. Because of your failure. Because of your carnality. Your failure to pray for them. Your failure to pray with them. Your failure to serve the Lord. Your failure to live a holy life. Your failure because you did not do what you're supposed to do as a Christian father and a Christian mother. And now, if you are supposed to leave this world, to close your eyes for the last time, knowing that your son and your daughter, they are lovers of the world, how do you think you feel? Lying in bed, closing your eyes for the last time, knowing that your son, your daughter, if they were to die in their sin without knowing Christ, you will never see them again. They were once little ones in your arms. They were once so dear to your heart, more important to you than life itself. And now they are grown up, and the years that you could shape them and mold them for Christ are gone forever. They will never come back. No matter how you regret, no matter how you may beg God, it will never come back. And all you can do, every time you think of them, you see them, it's a stark reminder of your wasted years. Because you were not around to nurture them, to help them, and to point them to the Savior. Don't blame your parents or the maid or anybody else. You are the parents. You hand them over to somebody else because you want to work and make more money. You have just put a price tag on the soul of your son or your daughter. Sure, there are examples. Sure, you may say, well, there are examples where the children are grown up properly. Yeah, there are many examples. But that is because of God's mercy. That's not the norm. You want to challenge God's word and take that risk? The price is the soul of your children. Time is short. And that's why God says, verse 29b, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none. What does that mean? You mean to live a life as if I'm not married? That's correct. To put it very bluntly. The only way to protect ourselves so that the cares and the burdens of family life will not overwhelm us, whereby we will lose our focus, whereby we will lose why we are here on this earth and forget our purpose, is to live a life as if you're not married. In other words, don't become so attached to your family, whereby you love one another and your children more than Christ. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. Do not live a life whereby you now become lovers of your family more than Christ. That's what it means. Verse 30 affirms that. And they that weep, as though they wept not. They that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. Those that buy, as though they possess not. That's what it means. As though. Not that you don't care for your family, by all means care for your family, but you never, never care for your family to the point, to the exclusion of serving the Lord, of obeying the Lord. That seems to be the challenge of many Singaporean believers who are married with young children. They forget. They allow the children's education to become the most important thing in their lives, and they are prepared to sacrifice anything for the children's education. They used to come for church camp, but now PSLE is round the corner, O-level around the corner, A-level around the corner. Oh, cannot have. All these things must now become a thing of the past. What kind of message are you telling the children? If you have some important project, give up whatever that is spiritual in your life. The spiritual activities in your life, they are appendixes. They can be discarded. But not the things of the world. They are most important. That's the message. And so when they grow up, you think there are no projects when they grow up, when they work? Whatever profession, there will always be projects. And so now you have already instructed them, if you have to make a choice concerning spiritual things, spiritual activities, and then your carnal projects, choose carnal projects. Where did I learn it from? Mom and dad. Mom and dad. And so when they have parents, when they become parents, when they have children, what do you think they're going to pass on from mom and dad? The same instruction. The same thing. Spiritual life is only something you do when you have spare time. Do it, worship God, serve God at your convenience. If you are not convenient, if you find yourself not convenient and you are so affected by the affairs of the world, no time. That is the best excuse. No time. God says, not no time, short time. There will come a time, but it will really be no time when you are lying in the coffin. Now you really have no time. The time on this earth is done. Now you have no time. As long as you are breathing, don't you dare say to God, no time. You have a short time. And that's why God says you live as though you are single. Don't allow your family life to dictate and control your service unto the Lord and your spiritual responsibilities. That's what it means. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then you will be able to love one another, including your family, with the biblical perspective. We have now switched it. Love my family with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then love God. We flip. How do I know? I've seen it with my own eyes. Repeatedly, over and over again. Repeatedly. Young families, middle-aged families, repeatedly. Don't seem to learn from the mistakes of others. And what they want is, don't preach from these kind of passages anymore. Preach nice things for us to hear. What nice things do you want to hear? What nice things do you want to hear? You have a dirty toilet, never wash it, use it all the time, covered with all kinds of slime and dirt. And then you enter this toilet. Don't tell me my toilet is dirty. Tell me all the nice things in my toilet. Tell me all the nice things. What are the nice things in the toilet that is covered in slime and filth and dirt? You use it, never wash for 5 years. What do you think will happen to the toilet, in that toilet? All the nice things. Yeah, see all the nice things? The nice tap, gold-plated. The nice toilet bowl. The nice this, the nice that. The nice mirror. But what about the filth and the dirt and everything else? What is so nice about you becoming a lover of the world? You want me to say nice? Very good. Continue to love the world. The world will continue to bombard and influence you and me. The world will continue to bombard and influence you and me in such a negative way, because that's the only way that the world can influence us negatively. They may look harmless, innocuous, but it is very, very subtle and deadly. Education is now the new God. Education is now the new God in all the world, especially Singapore. And it has now been ingrained into the minds of every Christian parent that the education of my children is paramount. I am prepared to do anything and sacrifice anything so that my child will have the best education that money could buy, that I could afford. And so you send them overseas and they allow the world to pollute their mind. And then they come back carnal and you don't even bother and care anymore, because now they are so clever in whatever field that they graduate in. They are now great doctors, great lawyers, great surgeons, great this and great that. What about their spiritual life? Are they really born again in Christ? Well, they are baptized. So was Simon the magician. He was baptized too. And he used money to buy favors from Peter so that he can have the power of the Spirit of God. If you think by baptism and by going through BBK will save you, then you don't know Christ. You don't know the Bible. You don't have salvation. The grace of God, which is Christ Jesus, can never be bought. Can never be bought. It's priceless. It's to be received by faith. And if you have not evidenced any fruit of salvation, please go back to square one and check your salvation. Family responsibilities are real. And the world will continue to shape us and mold us so that we will follow the fashions of the world. What are the fashions of the world for family? Seriously, what is it in Singapore? Children with university education so that parents can be proud. My children have university education. My children are successful this, successful that, successful doctor, successful lawyer, successful in all these fields and professions that make them lots of money. Proud. Right? This is the philosophy of the world. And so you rejoice and you weep when they fail. You rejoice so happily when they pass, when they get all these bonuses and they climb the ladder, they own big houses and you have all the money your heart could ever desire. Is that what you want? The fashion of the world? Time is short. Live as if you are not married so that you do not allow family responsibilities to take over as your idol. That's what it means. And look at the last verse, verse 31. And they that use this world, make sure you use this world. The word use this world means to receive the things of this world, to use it. So you have a house. Use the house to provide you with a safety and an environment to rest and to sleep in. You use your car so that you can travel from point A to point B and be more effective in serving the Lord. Use your computer to help you write good, godly messages and send them out to encourage others. Use this world by all means, but don't abuse it. Don't allow the world to take advantage whereby you use it immoderately. You use it to play games so much so that you become so addicted to it, and then you play until the wee hours of the night, and then you wake up late and you become such a miserable testimony for Christ. And you wasted your time. Use this world. Use your home. Don't let your home use you. Buy a home that you can afford. Don't buy a home that you cannot afford, whereby you get yourself into debt upon debt upon debt. Use this world and don't abuse it. Why? Because the fashion of this world will pass away. It will become nothing. It will be destroyed by fire, by God Almighty, your Heavenly Father. That is why do not allow the fashions of the world to become your fashion. That is why your time is short. Do not work and spend your time accumulating material things and material accolades, the praises of man, where you have your title, your name on this company, big as partners here and CEO. All these things will perish. These are the fashions of the world that God is so afraid that his children who are now married with family responsibilities will fall into this kind of snare and trap. And that's why he gave instruction to complete our proper biblical understanding of married life. Married is for life, ordained by God, only till death do we part. The Christian role of the husband and the wife, given to us by God, where the man is going to be the head. And he will lead and take care of the spiritual well-being of himself and the home. And then here, how should he do it? This is how he should do it. Know that your time is short, Christian husband, Christian fathers. The time is short that you can serve. The time is short that you can influence, especially your children for Christ. The time is short for you and for them. Never, never love your family more than you love Christ. Never use your family as an excuse not to serve Christ. Never use your family and turn the blessing into a curse because you have drawn farther away from Christ after you have children. Isn't that true? Less worship, more involved in this and that activities. Serving God has now become an appendix in your life when once upon a time it was your heart and soul. Remember those days? or some of you didn't even have any of those days. That is even worse. And then finally, use the world and don't abuse it. Don't become addicted to it. Don't use it immoderately whereby you become consumed by it. There's nothing wrong with having a house. Why do you want two houses? Why do you want three houses? Ask yourself that question. Do you really need it? Well, for investment. Invest in what? What are you planning? Where does Christ come into the picture? You are so caught up by the philosophies and the ideas of the world that you have forgotten to hear the voice of Christ. And you have allowed the voices of the world, which is engineered by Satan, to drown out the voice of God in your heart and in your life. And you think, the worst thing is you think you are right. When you are in deception, because the longer you think you are right, you will never change. The only time of change comes when you realize that you are in the wrong, that you are in sin. That's where true, genuine conversion comes. As long as you continue to do what is right in your own eyes and you think it is right, that's it. But beware of the consequence. Beware of hell awaiting those who die in sin. Beware. Your life, if you are truly born again in Christ, is so precious. Precious to whom? Precious to your children. Precious to the people around you. Because they sorely need to see Christ in your life. But because of your love for the world and you have forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ and how He must be so dear to your heart, you have failed them. Of course, you have failed Christ and you have failed God. But the damage that you have done to Christ and to the lives of these people that you have failed to influence positively for Christ, I hope it will not haunt you in time to come. Because right now, if it is not too late, it can still fix it. Because your children may still be too young, may still be young enough for you to fix the error, for you to correct it. Husband, please, one of you, either you or your wife, must stay home and look after children. Today's technology allows the husband to stay home. It's your decision, husband. Your decision to make who should stay home to take care of your son, your daughter. If you do not, you break God's teaching. You disagree, then you can find another interpretation for these passages. And no matter how you want to twist and turn, you know that this interpretation is correct. Do not love your family more than Christ. And if you become a lover of the world, the fashion of the world will pass away, everything in it. And if you continue to be motivated by the fashion of the world, you want to be like the world in your dressing, to wear the latest fashion in dressing, the latest car, the latest in everything, please go back to square one. Are you really a Christian? Because it is better for you not to call yourself a Christian, because you are not one, than to call yourself a Christian and not live like one. Because to call yourself a Christian and not live like one, you hurt the image of Christ. Because if you don't call yourself a Christian and you live a terrible life and you hurt the people around you, at least you don't hurt the image of Christ in their eyes. So that when a truly born-again Christian comes and gives them the gospel, they do not have this negative image of Christ that you have presented to them, to stumble them, to prevent them from now accepting and understanding the true Jesus Christ that this true believer is presenting to him, to her, your son, your daughter. That's what family responsibilities mean. You are married. Be biblical in your married life. Don't put your family ahead of Christ, ahead of scriptures, or else the price will be the souls of your sons and your daughters. Please understand the seriousness of what is at stake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit take the Word of God and speak to our hearts, that we may all know time is short, where we can serve Thee, where we can influence one another for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the father and the Christian mother, how short the time you have given to us to influence our sons and our daughters for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we influence them, O Lord, may we not put them ahead of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that even as husbands and wives, as parents with children, with families, may we live a life as if we do not have, so that we will never, never lose track of who we are in Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ must be the first in my life, all the days of my life, so that I can love my family in a manner that is pleasing to Thee, in a manner that will help them see Christ in me as well. And help me, O Lord, never to become a lover of the world, that even as we use the world, may we not abuse it, and to know that the fashion of the world will soon pass away. May we seek, therefore, things eternal that is not found on this earth, that is found only in Holy Scriptures. Grant to all who are your children, especially the men who are married, understanding that they may have the fear of God in their hearts and not sin against Thee, but be godly fathers and husbands to their families. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.